the book of Ezekiel, in essence, we find that God's just packing his bags up and he's walking out. And usually when God walks out of a place, a false spirit walks in. I don't want that to happen, do you? But I want to respond to God. I want to respond to God. Amen. Let me say how much we do appreciate Richlands Tabernacle. Brother and Sister Horton, kindness has been so good to us. I used to call up here and call Brother Ralph and see if I could park in the area while I preached around, and he'd say, "Son, you know where home is." Amen. And so when I call Brother Philip up, he'll usually say, "Just come on in. You're all right." And so we're thankful for their kindness to us over the years. And so good to be here today. I'm in a very difficult situation. I'm in a very peculiar place. Like most preachers, I've come into this meeting praying, "Lord, if I am called upon, what is your mind and what is your will?" The Lord whispered to my heart and he said, "You have your message." And as the week has progressed and I've listened to the various preachers preach, I've went back and I've prayed, "Lord, if I'm called upon, what is your mind and what is your will?" And he kept responding, "You know what your message is." When Brother Hudson got through today and he's preached that subject now for three times, I went back to the trailer. I said, "Lord, what am I going to do now?" He said, "You just trust me." And so I want you to turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 42. But I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. Chapter 42 is the results of Job's trial. But unlike Brother Hudson and most preachers, they focus on the 10th verse to the closing. And they deal with the external or the outward increase of what God did for Job. But I want to go back to the first 6 verses. And I want to see what God did in him spiritually and in his character. Amen. Job chapter 42 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." In verse number 10, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And may we see the mercy of the master. They'll not be the madness of the minister here this evening. You may be seated. Thank you. In the 13th chapter of Job, you don't have to turn there. There is a statement in the first verse. And before I get there, I'd like to, want to make mention here that every time I read the book of Joshua, I know that it is history. I know that it is unchangeable. It is forever set in stone. I've got that. But yet, every time I read through here, there is something on the inside of me. I long, desiring that the story would be different, that they would do what God said to do. And with that, sometimes I look in my own life and I think, "Lord, I wished I responded differently, then my story would be different." Amen. In this first verse, we find that God is speaking unto Joshua, and he said, "There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." We know that God had already, or Joshua had already, divided out the land. 5 years have elapsed of their warfare, and yet God was reminding them, "There is still more I want you to obtain." But you must understand that the children of Israel had become weary. Amen. Just like you and I get weary with our struggles. And as I endeavor to try to preach today, I'm probably going to reiterate some points that Brother Hudson made. And I'm probably going to reiterate some points that the other brethren have made through this week. But I felt in prayer this evening, the Lord said, "There's some things I want to get driven home."
Amen. I feel like God is wanting us to learn how to endure hardness as a good soldier and learn to just buck it up and get down to business for God. Amen. Amen. He said there remaineth yet much land. Amen. What an encouragement that he was endeavoring to give to them. Well, I want to tell you, God's trying to encourage us this week, isn't he? Hallelujah. I thought as Brother Hudson made, amen, preaching as he did on the 42nd chapter of Job, I shook his hand today and I said point by point Tuesday morning, you read my mail. Amen. And I said, I don't want to say unlike him, but I thought being a soldier or being a veteran, I knew what God had done. I knew that God has, amen, put me over in the enemy's hand to be raked over. But I too had grown to that closet many times and said, Lord, I know that I cannot quit. I know that I've got to endure. Praise God. But with that being said, I understand the responsibility of my response. I've got to respond. You're looking at me, and I feel you pulling back on me, but you might as well pull in here. I'm going to talk to you. Hallelujah. Lord, my response matters. Amen. The world would say, if God is such a good God, why does he allow bad things to happen? Amen. You say, well, you cannot attribute bad things of God, but you've got to understand something, that the enemy or life cannot do anything without it must first get its permission from God. Amen. And so with that being said, in an essence, God is in a roundabout way allowing. He may not be responsible for, but he is allowing. But what the world doesn't understand, it matters how we respond. For the very purpose of everything that you and I go through, amen, it ain't always a chastisement. Though there are times that God is endeavoring to bring us into a more perfect union with his will, and he must chastise us. Yet there are times when God allows things into our life to build or strengthen our inner character. Hallelujah. I know that Brother Hudson did not maybe make that statement in an essence, but while he was preaching, I could not help but feel that that was what God is endeavoring to tell us. I am trying to do a work on your inner man. Hallelujah. In Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32, the writer said that the people that do know their God, amen. Oh, I like that, don't you? Amen. They that are intimate with him. You cannot go any further in that verse of scripture until you get that one point down. They that know their God. I know you would stand with me this day and you would lift your hands and say, I know him. Yet, but when you really know him, you will trust him. Hallelujah. I have learned over the last days and weeks and months and years. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm just going to trust you. I don't know when and I don't know where you're taking me, but I'm going to trust you. Hallelujah. I thought as the service went along third Tuesday morning, there were tongues and there was never any interpretation. I felt the Lord whisper to my heart later on, and he said this to me, I have set the time and I have set the, amen, the border. And he said, and at the fullness of time, I'm going to show you my glory. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? They that know their God, they can trust him. And when you can trust him, I said, when you can trust him, I said, when you get to the place you know him, that you trust him, that you have the ability to say, like David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. They that know him, amen, they shall be strong and do exploits. That strength is dependent upon the relationship that you and I forge with God. Hallelujah. And when we know God, we know that God's got a purpose for everything that we go through. Now, I'm not going to quote that particular verse to us here this evening, but I am going to go to the book of Ephesians and chapter number 4. And he said, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a mouthful right there. That God is allowing me to go through what I'm going through, that I come to that place where I am unified in the faith of God. Now, my faith is not in faith. Amen. I said my faith is not in faith. And really my faith is not in some principle, but my faith is in a man. And that man is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came and gave himself for me. And the whole purpose of everything that you and I go through is that I come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. There's that word knowledge again. And it means to have an intimate relationship with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please help me, Lord. Please help me. Hallelujah. Amen. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. Every time I read those words, they burn in my heart, and I realize, God, that's the measuring stick. Amen. That is what you're measuring me by. You are measuring me by yourself. Amen. And Lord, I realize that the purpose of why I'm going what I'm going through is that I can learn to measure up. Now, I cannot do it within myself. No. I cannot do it within my own strengths. No. But I learned to put my hand in his hand. I learned to lean on him. I learned to trust in him. I learned to be like Abram was, not knowing where he went, the writer said, yet he had a confidence that God would take him where he needed him to be. Are you hearing me? I know that Brother Hudson took this text 3 times, and I know what the other brethren have preached. But I want to tell you today, my friend, God is wanting to drive some things home in our heart. Amen. And what he's desiring is more than the externals and more than the outward things, that he's wanting to deal with our hearts. Hallelujah. When we go to the 3rd chapter of Ephesians, amen, we find this, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I told you our response matters. Amen. And with that being said, amen, you and I have a choice this day. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to preach, or I want to preach, or I want to entitle this, amen, what will be the results of your trial? But maybe I'll subtitle it is, how are you going to respond? How are you going to respond? Hallelujah. Are you going to respond in doubt? Are you going to respond with fear? Or are you going to respond with faith and confidence? Too oftentimes, let's be honest with ourselves. Amen. We doubt what God is doing. We allow fear to rule in our lives. And therefore, anxiety gets a hold of us. Oh, I love the scripture reading that Brother Austin did today. Amen. What a cure for anxiety. And that is nothing more than we get another glimpse, like Isaiah did, when he said in that 6th chapter, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train doth fill the temple. I tell you what will do us good today, it will just get another glimpse of him. I said he become Talabahaya, it will just get another glimpse of him. Amen. You see, God's purpose for me is to depend on him and on his power now. Amen. I've got to learn. I make a choice. I'm going to walk by faith, or I'm going to allow fear to rule my life. It's a choice. I said it is a choice. Hallelujah. Hear me, my friend. Hear me. God does not give us overcoming life, but he gives us life as we overcome. Hallelujah. Come on here. Amen. God doesn't run a welfare state. Amen. God respects. There's some things that you and I have got to do. I remember my former pastor, Junior Morgan, down in Moultrie, Georgia, taught me as a young man. He said, faith is taking your little spoon out and you dig away at your mountain until God moves in your situation. I never forgot that. I understood that God gives me life as I make a choice to overcome by God's grace. You see, the strains of life is what builds our strength of character. No strain, no strength building. Hallelujah. I said no strain, no strength building. Praise God. In the natural sense, amen, if this body is not exercised, if we do not use certain muscles, they begin to deteriorate. They begin to break down. They begin to lose their strength. And they begin to lose the ability to do what they are intended to do. But then on the other hand, the more I use said muscle, the more that muscle, though it may be sore, though it may get ripped and torn through the process, it heals itself and it builds itself. As saying, I'm going to fortify against that, that the next time it comes, I will not be so weakened by it. And the muscle becomes stronger and stronger. Are you hearing me? And that's the way it is with us. Jabez prayed a very powerful prayer. Lord, that thou would bless me indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. And enlarge the coast. Enlarge my coast. And that thine hand might be with me. And that thou wouldest keep me from evil. And it might not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Amen. Jabez was willing for God to stretch him. I want to ask you the question here this evening. Amen. I know we like it when the preacher preaches what he preaches. I like it when I get those encouraging words that remind me God's not forgotten and God's going to work. But hear me, my friend. Amen. There's some things in life you're going to have to fight for. There's some things in life, amen, you're going to have to stretch yourself out for. Hallelujah. So I want to ask you the question, are you willing to be stretchable? Now I'm working my way somewhere and you hang on. Hallelujah. Jabez is praying for the power of God, but he understood that I've got to have the presence of God in order to have his power. But if I'm going to have the presence of God, then I've got to have the purity of God to have his power. Amen. Let me say it again. Not every trial you and I go through is a chastisement. Sometimes it is for the stretching of our faith. We may feel like our faith has reached its end, but God knows the limits. I said, God knows the limits. Hallelujah. And I want to drop in and say this, and I'm probably going to get ahead of myself. Amen. You may feel like God has, amen, took some things from you. Or you may feel like there's been some loss in your life. But I want to tell you, friend, if you'll hang on, you'll be able to recover it. And you'll be able to regain it. Amen. And you'll have the character to bear it. Help me, Lord. Hallelujah. Peter makes this statement to us in 2 Peter. Help me, Lord. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, according as this divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge. There goes that word again, knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto his exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be a partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In other words, I've given you the divine power that you could be a partaker of the divine nature. Praise God. But you got to accept the strain. No strain, no strength. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something here this evening? God's not looking to make us big, beautiful, plump grapes. He wants grapes that are squeezable. Hallelujah. I'm sharing my testimony here with our young'un, our baby boy. He's 18 now. He's born with a half a heart. Amen. I could spend hours talking to you, but I'll never forget the third time he was in Atlanta going through his third open heart surgery to reroute everything so he can live. I'll never forget sitting there in that ICU waiting room that was packed out. Wasn't hardly a chair left in the room. Amen. And a man across from me and my wife looks over at my wife and says, "Your husband is a holiness preacher." Amen. Can I tell you, I didn't want to be there, Brother Miller. I didn't want to be in that ICU waiting room. I didn't want my little baby back there being split open for a third time. Hallelujah. But God knew. God knew what he was doing. And all of a sudden that gentleman looked at my wife and said, "Your husband's a holiness preacher. I'm not in a suit and a tie. I ain't got no Bible sitting with me. I'm reading a little paperback book written by W.H. White. Amen. By the title of Joshua. I'm through my second reading of it. I'm sitting there and reading." And he makes that mention. And my wife said, "How do you know?" He said, "Because I'm a backslider out of the holiness church, and I'm sitting here on a conviction. I feel the Holy Ghost coming off of him." Come on here. I'm telling you, God wants grapes that he can squeeze. Sometimes we're walking through these valleys, and they are for our purpose. But sometimes we're walking through the valley, and it's for the purpose of somebody else. Could it be that Brother Hudson walked where he walked so he could stand in this camp meeting and he could reach out to hearts and lives that are walking in that same place? And he could tell you, just as God has brought me forth, he'll bring you forth. Hallelujah. Amen. We do not like the hands that squeeze us. I said, we don't like that process of being squeezed. Can you imagine Jacob? He's down by his brook and it's midnight. I said, he's bound by a brook. Amen. He's in a low place. Amen. And on top of that low place, it's his midnight hour. And there he wrestles with the angel of the Lord. The Bible said, with a man. He wrestles with a man. But the very hands that he sought deliverance, the very hands that he sought help from, the very hands that he needed strength, became the hands that broke him. Amen. He's got an angry brother before him, and he's got an angry father-in-law behind him, and he's in need of God. Amen. But there that night, God broke him. But I want to tell you, the hands that break will become the hands that will mend you. Hallelujah. But we've got to be totally surrendered to him. I said, we've got to be totally surrendered to him. I've got to touch on something before I go any further. For every Peter that gets delivered out of prison, there's a chains that gets beheaded. For every John that gets to live to make it to the Isle of Patmos, hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Amen. Praise God. Here in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the writer tells us this. Amen. We go down that list. He talks about faith that subdued kingdoms. They quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. How the weakness was made strong. But then he picks it up in the 36th verse. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Amen. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawed asunder. Were tempted and were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Amen. While Peter gets delivered, there's going to be some James, my friend. While John's on the Isle of Patmos, John the Baptist languages in a prison, facing a beheading. Amen. But my friend, the choice is up to you and me. Am I going to learn to flourish where God puts me? Amen. We were down at Brother Morgan's, and a gentleman in that particular church got crossways. I didn't do anything wrong. He was more angry with the pastor more than me, but he took his frustration out on me and my wife. He turned that entire church against us. We walked through the back doors. They wouldn't shake our hand. They wouldn't speak to us. There was only one or two women that would speak to my wife. And while she would be talking to them, the other sisters would walk up, speak to that one particular sister, turn and walk away, and would never acknowledge that my wife was standing there. Amen. We would go home Sunday after Sunday with tears dripping off of my wife's cheeks, and she's a pondering, how much more can we take? I had 3 acres of land, and while mowing one day with a little 30-inch snapper lawnmower, it took about 5 hours. I was praying, and I didn't care what the neighbors had to say. I was talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm ready to go home. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I put you here, and you're going to stay here until I tell you different. And I began to weep and pray. Then, Lord, let me get sweet. Make me better. Don't let me get bitter. Whatever you do, God, don't let me get bitter through this. Let me flourish where I'm at. Amen. The preacher preached to us this week. Amen. He didn't tell us where our exits was. I said, he didn't tell us where our exits was. Amen. We don't know how long we've got to walk through this. Amen. But my friend, the response must be this. God, I'm here, and I'm going to make the best of it while I'm here. Hallelujah, 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 amen. In our scripture text, and I've got to hurry, in our scripture text, Job, amen, has been put through it. He has been put through it. Amen. But there are some things that Job gained out of that position. Hallelujah. I tell you one thing he gained. Like Caleb, he gained faith that would bring peace to the situation. Hallelujah. I said faith will bring peace to the situation. Caleb had a faith that produced a passion, for he would tell that congregation that they that was disturbed by the bad report, let us go up at once. Let's don't procrastinate, but let's get down to business for what God wants. Hallelujah. He had a faith that provides possession, for he said unto them, we can possess it. The land is ours. Caleb had a faith that unlocked the power of God. You want to know where that faith come from? That faith came 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and watching God feed them with manna. His faith came by the fact that their shoes never wore out and their clothes never got threadbare. He watched what God did for them. I read to you that verse there in the 13th chapter of Joshua where God said, there remaineth yet more land. But before you can get to the land, you got to walk through the wilderness. Before you get through the yet there is more, you've got to walk through the wilderness. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, you've got to walk through the wilderness. Amen. Caleb said, I was 40 years old when we started this wilderness journey. It lasted for 40 years, and we've been battling for 5. And he stands and looks at Joshua, and he says, I'm 85 years old, and I still have the ability to go out. I still have the confidence to go out. Are you hearing me, my friend? He had a faith, hallelujah, that was grape grabbing and giant killing. I said he had a faith that grabbed the grapes. Amen. Job was already a man of exemplary character. Wouldn't you agree? For God said in that first chapter, have you considered my servant? I want to be a servant. How about you? Have you considered my servant? But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say he feareth God. He escheweth evil. He is perfect and upright in all of his ways. And yet God deemed that he must pass through this trial. Hallelujah. Amen. God, like the lapidary, amen, he took Job and he polished the life of Job. He already had the real sparkling gem of character. Amen. And God, like the lapidary, polished him up some more. Do you hear me? Amen. How are you going to respond to it? What's going to be the results of your trial? How are you going to come out of it? I know God's going to do it. I know God's going to manifest his glory. I know God's going to turn it around. How am I going to come out of this? How am I going to come out of this? Oh, help me, Lord. What kind of character am I going to have? What kind of person am I going to become through this? Amen. You hear me? After 18 years of being a full-time evangelist, I'm not concerned about reaching the top. I'm not concerned about being the next great camp meeting preacher. Hallelujah. Probably won't never make it there. You can tell. I'm not concerned about all of that. What I'm concerned with is God, every step I take with you, let me be fashioned in your likeness. Let my character come forth in a manner that I'm pleasing unto you. Hallelujah. Let me respond correctly to what you are doing in my life. Amen. Not only to respond, but to respond in a right spirit and a right attitude. Job said this, I know that thou canst do everything. This trial had brought Job to a place where he had a greater recognition of the deity of God. First, he understood the power of God. Thou canst do everything. Amen. I want to know, how big is your God while you are in the middle of it? Hallelujah. How big do you see God? Amen. As Brother Turner preached yesterday, amen, how do you see it? What are you looking at? How big is your God? Amen. Job said, Lord, I know back there I said some things that were out of character, but we do read through Job where he had moments of faith, and he talked about how he's going to come forth out of it. I can't find God, but yet he knoweth the way that I take. Hallelujah. Amen. But he finally reached a place where he understood the God that he was serving. Thou canst do everything. And the bigger you make your God, the better your outcome is going to be at the end of your trial. Amen. For you see, he saw the proficiency of his power. Thou canst do everything. The confronting of Job with the many questions about the creation matters demonstrated to Job that God could do anything. Hallelujah. He saw the proficiency of God's power, but then he saw the prevalence of his power. For he said, no thought can be withholding from thee. In other words, God, when you set your plan in motion, there is nothing that can overturn it. Hallelujah. There's not enough devils in hell. Amen. There's no circumstance of life that can overturn the plan of God. But hear me, my friend, it all comes down to me and you. How am I going to respond to that plan? Hallelujah. He not only saw and understood the power of the deity of God, but it made him more sensitive to God. I said it made him more sensitive to God. Hallelujah. I made mention in the opening of preaching. Amen. I appreciate God's presence. Amen. We don't always feel him in the same measure, amen, as we would like to. Amen. The rocks don't always rent. The wind doesn't always blow. And the fire doesn't always fall. But nonetheless, God, bring me to a place that my ears are attuned to you to the point that I can hear the still, small voice of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I remember one particular day out in the yard, I was working on that old Airstream. Some of y'all remember that old Airstream. Hallelujah. I wore it out too. It was about to fall off the frame. But I was out there packing bearings and was working on it. Hallelujah. I knew there was nobody in the yard. I knew there was nobody around. But all of a sudden I heard footsteps that come up behind me. And I felt them. I recognized them. I said, I recognize those footsteps. And all of a sudden, I felt a touch on my shoulder. And I recognized it. And I said, Lord, you speak. Your servant listeneth. And I heard that still, small voice. Come on, friend. We're like the disciples. We're finding ourselves on the stormy seas of life. And he's walking over our very waves. But we're so caught up in what's going on. And we're almost to lose sight of what God's doing. We're so caught up looking for that distant shoreline. When am I going to get out of this? When is this going to come to an end? How much more as I do what I know I've got to do. I've got to keep rowing. I can't quit. I've got to stay with it. But I don't want to get so caught up, amen, that I lose sight of what God is doing right now. Are you hearing me? I said, I don't want to get so caught up to lose sight of what's going on right now. He not only got a greater understanding of God's power, but he become more in tune and more sensitive to God's presence. It caused him, I believe it created a greater awe and a greater reverence in his life. I think that's where we're at today. We need that awe to come back. We need that reverence. But you see, not only how he saw God that mattered, but it's also how he saw himself. Come on here. You're looking at me. I know you're ready for your nap. Praise God. But this trial is not only bringing me to a place where I see God in a greater light, but I must also see myself in a greater light. Notice what he said. He said, amen, that he lacked perceptiveness to speak. For he said, I uttered that I understood not. He said, I lacked, amen, proficiency to speak. For he said, I uttered things too wonderful for me. Amen. He said, he lacked, amen, the particulars to speak. For he said, I uttered which I knew not. Amen. He brings himself to a place where he makes a plea with God. God, would you correct my deficiencies, and would you give me a greater understanding and a greater knowledge of God? I believe our greatest sin that we commit is to think that God thinks like we think instead of us thinking like God thinks. Hallelujah. He saw himself in a different light. Praise God. How are you seeing yourself today? What have you learned about yourself in this trial? What's going to be the outcome? What's going to be the results of it? How are you going to come out of it? The Bible said that Job received twice as much. Yes, twice as much animals, twice as much wealth, and yes, he received twice as much children. Oh yes, he did, because that first set was not destroyed. Amen. They were just temporarily moved out of his presence, but there was a day of reunion with them. Hallelujah. They were still very much alive in eternity. So he got twice the children. Oh, I want to say it again. There may be some things in your life that God's got put on hold. Hallelujah. But that ain't the end of the story. I said that ain't the end of the story. I couldn't help but think while I was praying this evening about that. I believe she was a Shunammite woman, and she had received a promise from the prophet. Amen. About this time next year, you're going to have a son. But there came a day when that promise died in her lap. You don't understand, preacher. I was there. I did all I could, and my promise died. But I'm telling you, that ain't the end of the story. She didn't bury it. She didn't put an epitaph over it. Hey, remember, there came a day when God revived her promise. Hallelujah. Job, he gets blessed in the natural means. But Job never walked any greater than he walked when he come out of that trial. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to reiterate what Brother Hudson said today. But what's going to be your results? How are you going to come out of it? Are you going to be bitter, sour, cynical? Or are you going to become better? It's our choice. I'm going to close, but before I do, I'm going to read you a poem. And I know I've probably read this poem here before, but I'm going to read it again. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The title of the poem said, and God said no. He said, I asked God to take away my pride. And God said no. He said it was not for him to take away, but for me to give up. It's a choice. Asked God to make my handicapped child whole, and God said no. He said the spirit is whole, the body is only temporal. Hallelujah. Asked God to grant me patience, and God said no. He said that patience is a byproduct of tribulation. It isn't granted. You learn it. You earn it. You hammer and forge it out. I asked God to give me happiness, and God said no. He said he gives blessings, but happiness is up to me. Come on, friend. I asked God to spare me pain, and God said no. He said suffering draws you apart from the worldly cares, and it brings you closer to me. I asked God to make my spirit to grow, and he said no. He said you must grow on your own, but he will prune me and make me more fruitful. I asked God to help me to love others as much as he loves me. And God said, oh, finally, you've got the idea. What's going to be the outcome of your trial? Hallelujah. As men have preached this week, I've had to bow on that altar. And I had to say, Lord, help me with that. Let's deal with that. Let's take care of that. Because I want to come out of this right. Not everybody is a Peter. Some of us are probably going to be John's the Baptist, locked up in prison for a while. But while I'm there, God, let me bloom. Let me flourish. Let me be the best I can be. Would you stand with me, please? Let's stretch our hands into the Lord. Let's give him glory and honor and praise.